Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I'm joined by Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along a little later for Tucker's Tape and, of course, Ask Ross. Let's start, Andy, with you. How are you doing? I think it's about week five of lockdown. How is the Shea household doing?
We're still together. Four adults, two adult children, my wife. It's like the house is... it feels more like an apartment now at times. Like, it's a house, but the walls are closing in a little bit, but we're doing great.
How about you, Bob?
I'm doing, I think, better than A'Shea. I think A'Shea might have a little cabin fever. He likes to golf. I don't think he's really been able to do that. So I'm sure he's glad that his kids are back home, but I think he probably is desperately craving a little bit of a release on the golf course. Hopefully that'll come in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll tell you, guys, this is the way I look at it. There's essentially three permutations to all this. You could be working but have to be out there or exposed to this thing. You could have lost your job, be unemployed. And the third option, which the three of us all enjoy, which is we're still employed and we're able to work from home. So we should all thank our blessings for that.
We are.
Anyway, all right, with that behind us, let's get started with the news in quarter number one. The nice thing, we've been getting these press conferences from all of the Penn State assistant coaches, and they've been really good, really informative. And the most recent one was from Taylor Stubblefield, the new wide receiver coach. And he's kind of in an interesting position as the new guy in a tough position. I'll start with you, Andy. What was your takeaway from his press conference on Wednesday morning?
Yeah, so I listened to him eat for all 30 minutes, which I'm sure you did too, Bob. And
yes.
I got the impression that, so here's was my takeaway. One, it's my takeaway when Penn State released its depth chart, you know, on what would have been the blue white day. I literally skipped over the wide receivers because it doesn't matter. Because there's 13 of them, more freshmen coming in, and really, who knows? It's the most handicapped position, but you could almost tell that being a new coach, having so little experience coming back, having so little to work with in terms of, you know, actually being able to work with the guys, that he's handicapped, right? You could almost tell that he's doing the best he can, but he doesn't really... It was hard for him to answer some questions because... he just doesn't know enough. He just doesn't have enough of a knowledge base, and that he's in a bit of a pickle in terms of compared to any of the other coaches that Penn State's put out. I just got the, you know, feeling that, like, man, I just felt for the guy, like, this is a tough spot. The position's lagging behind development wise a little bit as compared to other positions at the school. He's new. He lost, you know, KJ Hamler went to the NFL, which was their best receiver. There's not a lot of development and guys behind him other than Jahan Dotson. And there's a bunch of them, right? And losing the spring and everything that's happened to him probably has impacted him more than the rest. And he's what, their fourth wide receiver coach in as many years now, right, Bob?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you'd throw that into the equation, and it's a big learning curve for him. And he had his sort of his knees cut out from under him a little bit by everything that's happened. And that was my biggest takeaway right out of the gate.
How about Bob? What I found interesting, Bob, and this kind of is a follow up to what Andy said. There were two things. In the first question, he was asked about, is anyone stepping up? And it's hard for him to name one at that point. And later on, he was asked about the depth chart, and he did everything but say, oh, I just threw the names in the hat, and that's the first one that came out.
Yeah, I think with him, I just remember him a little. I'm old enough to remember him as a player who played against Penn State. I believe he caught a huge touchdown pass against Penn State in 2004 when I think they had a ranked team. I believe Kyle Orton was the quarterback, and they were on upset alert. It was a great crowd at Penn State that day. Penn State ended up being 4-7. They took Purdue to the wire, a good Purdue team. He caught a pass late from Orton. I think that hurt Penn State. Great receiver, the Big Ten's all-time receptions leader. What struck me about his conversation is, you know, he was asked about, you know, Jahan Dotson and whether there was the fact that they were about the same size, any comparison there. And he said, you know, Jahan's a much better athlete than I was. And he said, you know, as for all the work that I did in college, I was, he basically said he relied heavily on technique. That was refreshing for me to hear. I think there were some problems the last couple of years in terms of development with receivers, either, you know, breaking off routes, not running the right routes, not using the right techniques. My hope with Stubblefield this year, when they get back to football and when they get back on the practice field, and Andy Shea kind of touched on it, is he just focuses on techniques, making them accountable. And I think this is where Kirk Cherock is going to come in very handy for a first-year receivers coach, because Kirk knows every position well. And I think his offense, the design of it, it's geared towards getting wide receivers to come almost wide open, because the front seven has to honor the run and the RPO. So if Penn State's receivers can just run the right routes, it sounds crazy, get to the right depths, know when to break, know, understand the two-way goes. I know it's a lot to ask. I don't think it's going to be as big of a problem, because I think that Kirk's offense and the way that he can kind of help him kind of develop these wideouts quickly, is going to accelerate their development. And I also think that, you know, his scheme, I think, is really going to fit this offense a little bit better. I think they have a couple of really talented second year wideouts that are going to step to the front this year. One of them at least is going to have to. Taylor's got a hard job, but if you remember, James Franklin always says, the further you are away from the ball, the easier it is to play as a true freshman. It's kind of borne out at Penn State the last 5 or 6 years. They played young wideout early. Not having an extended spring, or not having any spring, is going to hurt. But I'm hoping that Kirk kind of shepherding Taylor a little bit, and Taylor maybe honing the technical side for these young players, will make it a little bit easier than maybe it would appear.
You know, towards the point, Bob, of playing young people, and he's not going to be critical of any of the receivers, and he seemed pretty balanced in talking about all of them. But am I wrong, Andy, in saying that it looked like there was sounded like there was a little more enthusiasm when he was talking about true freshman Lambert and his abilities?
Andy? So, yeah, no, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. He has enthusiasm, and I think the point is, Bob, when Bob was saying, when you think about Penn State and the wide receiver room and a new coach coming in now and the position they're in right now, that his sort of strength will have to be teaching them the basics, right? I mean, you've got guys like Juwan Johnson and Justin Shorter who could not develop and flourish at Penn State. Were they lacking talent? No, of course not. We all know that, right? That's as plain as the nose on your face to see that those guys were talented. So what's the gap between them not being able to be productive receivers on the field on a consistent basis and not being able to do it? And it could be what Bob hit on, basics. And these young kids are talented. We've watched their film. We've done recruiting rankings on them. We're like, we've never questioned that the wide receiver recruiting class was no good, right, in the last 3 years. We've never talked about them not getting good wide receivers, not getting talented wide receivers. So it's the development part of it. And maybe being a technical guy, and that's the kind of player he was, and I do remember him, he was an outstanding, technically good receiver. That might be sort of a missing piece that Penn State hasn't had, where the talent and the technique merge, but it just isn't happening on a consistent basis. And I'm excited for him more than any other player, because I think he has more unknown than anybody, but he also has more talent at times, it seems, than anybody.
Jenny, it's either that or Jahan Dotson and Pat Freiermuth will combine for 120 catches when football resumes.
Right.
It's one or the other.
Well, you know, somebody has to step up. And, you know, as much as, you know, those two players are very good, very talented, and definitely are going to get their share of looks, somebody else has to step up. And in a way, that's the nice thing about having a new coach, is that it's that clean slate, and it just becomes a question of who is that next guy, who is that player. And I'll go to you, Bob. You know, Taylor Stubblefield wouldn't pick out a name. I'm going to ask you to. We haven't mentioned Daniel George yet. We haven't mentioned John Dunmore yet. Obviously, there was TJ Jones at the top of the depth chart, a couple of the freshmen. How about you? Who are you looking for to step up?
I do think that no spring is going to impact how they approach things. And I'll be curious to see, given when they restart, Jimmy, how much time Penn State affords the coaching staff to simply teach and technique wise, because they're going to have to condition. There's going to be a lot of things, I think, in play. Guys are going to come back not in great shape because they just haven't been able to weight train. I think Daniel George has got to be the guy in year three. I'm really excited about Dunmore, and I did see TJ Jones was hovering near the top of the depth chart. I think that's just a placeholder at this point. If you're the coaching staff, you give him about 2 weeks when football resumes to see what you got and just hope you can develop him quickly early in the season. If Daniel George doesn't take a step forward this year, I think Penn State's in a little bit of trouble early in the season. I do think one of the young guys, Dunmore and Jones, more so than the true freshman, will be heard from. It may take a couple of games, but between Penn State's running game, Freiermuth and Dotson, I don't know that they need a lot from the wideouts early when football resumes, but they're going to, when Big Ten play does start, you're going to either need Dunmore or Jones or George. One of those three, two of those three are going to have to be guys that catch between 20 and 25 passes.
And there's no doubt they're going to get the opportunity. So who's going to take advantage of that? One last topic, and I'll ask you about this real quickly, Andy. He talked about recruiting and maybe without the glitz and glamour that some of these schools have, you got to get creative and build relationships. What was your reaction to that comment?
Yeah, he works for James Franklin now, right? It was, slide in, you know, do as you're told and do what James and tell you and do what James tells you to do. Because I don't think there's anybody in the country, and I've said it before, under these circumstances, I'm thinking James Franklin levels the playing field better than anybody in these circumstances. And I think James is keeping it simple. And I think that James is the leader. That's my bottom line, that he's just following James's lead.
All right. That's going to have to be it for quarter number one. Stick around. In quarter number two, it's Tucker's Tape and his 2020 class rankings.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.